Well, what have you been up to? Here it is, a rainy Sunday in January, February, and now we're approaching the middle of March. And life just keeps happening. Some's been sick, some's been on the mountain, some's been all around, I guess. But it's amazing to me that it's the middle of March. Some are spring breakers, and some are here, some are there, and all that, but here we are today. So what have you been learning from God? What's God been doing in your life? What's He been saying to you? What's new in your spiritual walk? Anything? About the same? Think about those questions. What's going on? What's new in your spiritual walk? Well, as a church, we've been talking about purpose, and we've been talking about mission. We've been talking about what is it God wants us to do. And we've said over and over and over, and you can say it again with me today if you'd like, that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. So we've got to ask ourselves, that's what we've been learning, are we doing it? Are we loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind? And next we said we're going to spread the gospel. Great commission, great commandment. So are we doing those two things? Yes or no, or maybe, or I'm working on it, or what is your answer? I hope it is yes, we got you. Then we said, what is going to help us do these things? What's going to help me love the Lord our God with all of my heart, soul, and mind? What's going to keep me on target? What's going to help me spread the gospel around the world? What will help me stay on those, on that purpose, on that mission? We said prayer's got to be a priority. Nothing new to you that prayer must be a priority. It's been on screens. It's been around for years. Prayer must be a priority. So then we ask the question, are we doing it? Sounds good, sounds churchy, looks good on the screen. It's got a good little rhyme, well, not a rhyme, but it sounds good. Prayer must be a priority. The question is, are we doing it? Is prayer a priority in our life? Today, we'll look at Scripture in Acts 2 on the screen. First one's the first five verses, and it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Talking about when Pentecost came. They were all together in one place. You know that's important. We look around today, and this is not a sermon on people who are not here for spring break, so don't even go there. It's not. But as we look around today, as Tony says, there are a lot of wood out there. Right here, they were all together in one place. There's something to that, and we'll look at it here in a minute. Verses 14 through 21 is the next slide, and it says, then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of our Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If we get three little points here this morning on this rainy day, here they are. Preparation, supplication, and expectation. There's three things we can learn out of this real quick. In verse 1 it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place. Okay? They were preparing for this time of prayer. Jesus says to his disciples, he says in so many words, look here guys, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to stay right there until the power from on high comes. I want you to stay put. Go to Jerusalem, stay there. They went to the upper room and they waited. About 120 of them at the time, and they was in a time of preparation to see what God was up to. And these guys, and just imagine if you were there, had experienced Christ now up front and personal, 3.5 years. They were there. They were with Jesus. They saw him do all sorts of miracles. And here they are in this room waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. They saw his death. They saw his resurrection. They heard the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were saying in their mind many things probably, but they had to say, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next here? They get behind these closed doors and they're scared to death. And you're thinking, they just saw Jesus' death. They saw the resurrection. They've got the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were seeing all these things. What's next? But yet they're scared to death. They walked with Jesus 3.5 years. They got to see up front and personal all these miracles. And now fear has got a hold of them after all they had seen. And people are still living in fear today. I mean, they walked with Jesus. He healed the sick right in front of them. He raised the dead in front of them. He walked on water now in person, in the flesh, with them, and now they're scared to death, living in fear, and it paralyzed them. What are you afraid of today? Many people still live in fear, the fear of the unknown, what will happen, this, that, and the other things that you don't know or can't control. They were still afraid, even though they lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus. Go to Jerusalem. You stay there until the power comes. So the slide says a time of preparation. Oneness of mind. They were all there together in one place. Oneness of mind. You know what it is to be one? You know what it is to be married for 30-some years? Back there, they're going to celebrate an anniversary. You had to become one. You're still becoming one. You are one. How's that work? They're saying, preacher, you've lost your mind. If you're married, you know, we say you're coming together as one. Christ says, I want the people, the disciples and the people of God to come together in one mind, to be in one accord. And if I want to experience the power of God, I've got to be in oneness with him. If the church wants to experience the power of God, we've got to be in oneness with each other and with God to see his power. It's just that simple. He designed it that way. Oneness of mind, unity in the body, and thinking on the things of God. They were all there in one place. Now, all of us are not here today. It's very obvious. That's a hindrance. And I'm not harping on spring break crowds, so don't tell them I was. We know what it is. We know we'll take a vacation and all that. But when the body will not come together as it should, it puts us at a hindrance. Just that simple. And, you know, when call the roll. Get the roll book. Get the directory. When all would be there in one place with one mind, preparing the mind to be in oneness with God, and then things happen because God will see to it that it happens. We say, well, how about these disciples here? Well, they were in one accord. They were scared to death, but they were together. And they were in one accord. They were together. And when prayer's a priority, it helps us love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. It helps us spread the gospel. And it helps us to move in a oneness as the body of Christ. Because when prayer's a priority, we're praying in the Spirit. And then we're sensitive to what God wants us to do. And we're sensitive to our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're praying in the Spirit. And that's what God is asking us to do here and in these scriptures today. Psalm 133 says what? how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like a precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling from on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. A sweet experience. The sweet oil, the Spirit of God being poured out on you, upon us as a church body, when they're in unity, when we've got one mind, then God is open and can bless and can help us see his power. Now, if you don't want to see it, you can see his curse. There's people in the world today under a curse from God, and that's not a popular topic this day, about a curse from God. I'm convinced you may not be, that you can get out of disharmony with God and be under a curse. You can get out of disharmony with one another, and you know what that feels like as a husband and wife or a family or what have you. But people get out of unity with God, they get out of touch with themselves, out of touch with their family, out of touch with the body of Christ and God himself. People rob God, won't tithe their income. Sometimes there comes a financial curse. You get out of the will of God and just simply say, I'm going to do my own thing. Family after family see the curse that comes because they will not listen to God, because they won't open their heart to the things of God. And so that means if we're going to open our heart to the things of God, then that means I got to have self-examination from time to time. That means we all got to look in the mirror, and when we like what we see, fine. When we don't like what we see, then we got to change. We've got to ask God to help us and forgive us. So it's not always comfortable. But if we want to see God move, we gotta look in our own heart and make sure everything's ready. Expect God to do something. Well, do I have to be obedient to him for his blessings? I believe so. You can look in the Old Testament. You can look in the New Testament. God's always God. God's always doing his part. The children of Israel did not do their part at times, and you saw what happened. Today in the New Testament church, God's doing his part. We don't always do our part, and we see what happens. We got to be obedient to him if we want to hear his fullness. Next slide, a time of supplication. Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. They joined together constantly in prayer. There were some prayer meetings going on. They were all there. They were unified, and they come to pray, and they come to make prayer a priority. They come seeking the will of God. They come seeking what God had for them, and they had a burden. Now, if we took a survey on a normal day and when there are more people here and said, do you have a burden for Christ? Probably everybody in the church would say yes. Do you have a burden for this ministry? Most people would say yes. But sometimes we're just fooling ourselves. Sometimes people just think they've got a burden for Christ. Sometimes people just think they have a burden for their church. Well, how do you tell? How do you know? How do you figure that out? Well, God's going to figure that out. But if everybody is obedient and oneness of mind, then there's more of a freedom. If everybody had a burden for the lost. Well, do you have a burden for the lost? Well, sure I do. I'm in church this morning. Well, how about proving that? You say, well, I don't have to prove anything to you, preacher. Okay, I'll even go along with that. How about proving it to the Lord? How about proving it to the community? How about proving it to the church that you truly have a burden for Christ and his gospel, and you have a burden for Jones Chapel? As long as you attend here, as long as we do things here, do you have a burden for the ministry of Jones Chapel to move forward? And I know a lot of you do, but there's some that don't. They just think they do. And how can you tell? Well, the least little thing, you don't see them. The least little thing, people are not there. The least little thing gets in the way, and the church is just something that they pick up in their spare time. And that's not what God wants or what he's going to bless. He says, I want you in one place. I want you praying. I want you in one accord. I want you in supplication. I want you to do things together. And you say, well, you can't get everybody together in 2018, no matter what you want to do. Well, I know what that says, but, you know, all things are possible with God, too. So what about that? What's going to drive us to prayer? What drove these people to prayer? Well, they walked with Jesus. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him walk on water. They saw all these things. And then they went to the upper room. They're supposed to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. And they got scared to death. And they said, what are we going to do now? We're together. We're in one accord. We're scared to death. But we're here. What will move you to prayer? What will move me to prayer? What will move the body of Christ at Jones Chapel really to prayer? Will it take persecution? Will it take something like who's going to kill who here? What's going to happen next? What in the world is going to happen to us here? If it takes it, the Lord will allow it. He will allow it. You know, sometimes people fall flat on their back because that's the only way that they'll listen to God. Sometimes the blessings are gone, the finances are gone. Something will get our attention, and I pray we can listen to the Lord. Look at the next slide. It says, prayer is an adjustment of our lives to the will of God. Prayer is an adjustment of our lives to the will of God. God, what is your will? What are you wanting me to do? And I am to get in line with your will. That prayer helps us get in line with God's will. What is your will? Lord, I will adjust my life to your will. Now, will we really do that? It sounds good, but will we really do it? Lord, I will adjust my life to the will of God. Well, what's God saying? What's God wanting us to do? Well, one thing is to make prayer a priority. Now, this time of expectation on the screen. Verses 1 and 2, they were in unity, they were obedient, and they were together. And they had faith. They were expecting God to do something. Now, did you expect God to do anything today? Did you expect God to speak through His Word in Sunday school? Did you expect these scriptures and Acts, or did you expect this special song, or did you expect this music and worship and the playing and the singing and the praise and hallelujah to the Lamb? Did that do anything for you? To sing hallelujah to the Lamb, I don't care how many times we sing it, it always touches my heart. Now, you might have another one that touches your heart, but hallelujah, praise the Lamb. That ought to excite you to praise the Lamb. You have enough faith to believe God will do something? God, I believe your word. We say that to the Lord. God, I believe your word. I really believe your word. I'm going to expect you to do something. We'll pray on. The next slide and the last slide this morning says expectation, faith that believes. Faith that believes. I'm going to expect God to do something. I'm going to have the faith to believe that God is going to do it. And the disciples did that. Oh, they were scared to death, but they believed the Holy Spirit was coming. Like the old sayings, you put into it what you get out of it. If you expect much, you get much. If you expect nothing, you get nothing. What do you expect God to do in your life? Now, you'll answer that sometime today, I hope. What are you expecting God to do in your individual life? What are you expecting God to do in your family? What are you expecting God to do in the body of Christ? What are your expectations? What do you think about all the time? What is it on your radar of the body of Christ and making prayer a priority? Is it on the radar of the leaders, of the people, of the congregation, that we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and then we're going to spread the gospel? And then we're going to use tools like prayer to help us do that. Are we willing to do it? Well, we got to be unified to see it. Got to quit laying out all the time and be in one place and one accord. Be obedient. Got to have an open heart. Got to have self-examination. And we got to be obedient to God and say, God, I expect you to do something. I want you to move. So prayer has got to be a priority. So here we are on a rainy day today. Me and you, God and the devil. We need to kick the devil out. Need to know that God's up to something. Expect God to do something in my life, your life, the church's life, things we're praying about. So now it's our turn. What will we do with it? We'll sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb. Sure will. And it was great. All that was good. The special good. All that. Yes, I'm fed by that. Will we make prayer a priority? Will we have that time of preparation? Will we have that time of supplication? Will we be expecting God to do something and have the faith to believe it? Question of the day. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you for the privilege once again to read your word, to preach your word, to hear the living word of God. We're thankful, Father, for the things we've experienced this day. What a wonderful God you are, a beautiful God, a powerful God. Yes, you are. We're thankful for all the blessings you bring our way. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for this day. And Father, wherever the families may be, we pray blessings upon them. And we pray, Father, that not one or two or three or four, but all of us as a body of Christ would be in one place. We would be praying. We would be expecting God to move. So, Father, you know what you have in store for us this coming week. We pray your blessings upon us. We pray we'll take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.